The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.
Hey everybody, it's Dan Latta from daniellatto.co.uk. So in my, 20 years as a property investor, and more recently, 11 years as owning a lettings agency that we sold back in 2011 or so, and in the last sort of 6 or 7 years being a property coach, we do things a little bit differently than most people. So I just wanted to talk about two of those things. The first one being why we don't take deposits anymore. Okay, that's quite controversial, I know. And the second one is why we don't rent to people under 25. We do, but there's a couple of caveats that we need. Let's deal with the under 25s one, because this really gets my goat. We had a guy last week, he wants to rent one of our rooms in one of our HMOs, and I'm like, that's fine, how old are you? Are you in full-time work? And he's like, no, I'm not in full-time work. Oh no, he was in full-time work, this one. He was in full-time work, but he was 21. And I'm like, right, well, you'll need a guarantor, it needs to be a blood relative like a parent. And he's like, they need to be over 30, right? So if it's a parent, it would be over 30. And it's like, well, I haven't got anyone who'll be a guarantor for whatever reason. And none of my friends are over 30. I'm like, that's fine, you can't rent from us then. And he's like, well, that's ageist. And like, there's a couple of ways that I respond to this, by the way. The first one is, I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit whether you think it's ageist or not. We don't rent to people under 25 who can't get a guarantor who's over 30. If you don't like that, just take us to court. That's fine. It's okay, it's not a problem. And I said to the guy, and it's kicking off, right? It's really kicking off. So I'm like, so you probably expect that it should be okay for 4-year-olds to drive cars then, do you? And he's like, oh, tell me the name of your boss. I'm like, I am the bloody boss, dickhead. Who else do you think runs this blooming company? It's me, it's my properties. So it's my decision. If you don't like that, jog on, quite frankly. So that's the first thing I thought was quite funny. And then he's like, oh, who's the ombudsman? So I give him the details for the ombudsman. Let them go make a complaint. But let me tell you why we don't rent to under 25s, because I think this is really important to understand. And it's not my fault, right? It's the government's fault. So you can go blame the government. If you don't like it, go write to the government, go write to your local MP. So if you're under 25 and in full-time work, if you lose your job, okay, you cannot claim benefits till the age of 25. Now, why on earth would I want to take a risk that when you lose your job, or they lose their jobs, that I'm now liable in some way to cover your rent, which includes gas, water, electricity, and so on? Why would I take that risk without any sort of fallback position? Why would I do that? It just doesn't make sense to me. But you can't blame me. And if I'm being ageist, then the government's being ageist, because they've got the cut-off point at 25, not me. We just follow their cut-off point. So if you're going to sue me, come and sue me, but you need to go sue your government as well, okay? So, like, some people don't like that, and that's okay. You're not, like, meant to like everything that happens. That's okay. That's part of life. There's lots of things I don't like. Justin Bieber, for example. Can't stand him, right? Spits on his fans, like, that's crazy, right? But you don't see many people suing Justin Bieber, but anyway. But there's lots of things I don't like, but that's just life, right? So I don't know if it's this millennial, like, this gift of entitlement that people expect, I don't know. But for me, I'm not renting to anyone under the age of 25 without a guarantor. Why is it a blood relative? Because usually if it's mum or dad, which is the sort of guarantor that we want, if little Johnny, age 21, doesn't pay his rent and we go tell his dad, guess what happens? His dad kicks off with little Johnny and pays his rent and then tells little Johnny off to never do that again because it's him that's liable. That's really cool. When it's a friend of little Johnny, Johnny being the 21-year-old, and they're a 25-year-old, have they also got the means necessary to pay their rent and their lifestyles as well as little Johnny's rent? Probably not. At age 30, they're usually a bit more mature and they usually have more income. But even more importantly, they actually understand what they're getting into, which is a legally binding agreement. So if little Johnny doesn't pay his rent, we're going to come after you, dude. We're going to come after you to pay his rent. And if you don't, we're going to take you to court. We're going to send a bailiff and we're going to take your TV. That's how it works, folks, when you don't pay your rent. And I wish people understood that. We sue people who don't pay rent. I actually think it's theft, quite frankly. And I would like to see a change in the law so that people actually go to prison. It's like me going into Currys or Dixon's, taking their TV and going, I'll pay you in a couple of months. I'm having a hard month because I've got a holiday book, so I'll just pay you next month, eh? It doesn't work like that. Why should it work in property? Anyway, let's not go down that path. But this is just to explain why we don't rent to people under 25, and also why the guarantor needs to be ideally be a blood relative or at least over 30, okay? And I hope that makes sense. We're not doing this just to be a pain. My job is to rent rooms out in my house, but more importantly than that, my job is to make sure I get paid. My job isn't to house homeless people. That's the government's job and they do it very badly. That's not my job, right? My job isn't also to house people who are unlikely to pay their rent should they lose it. Like if you're a Deliveroo driver, right, or a cyclist, it's going to be a lot harder for you to rent a place because you've got no certainty of income, right? Why would I want to take that risk? I'd much rather rent to a guy who works in a call centre and is on £14,000-£15,000 every year, okay, than a guy that's earning £8,000 or £9,000. Why would I want to take that risk in my business? What's happening is I'm putting my future financial success in the hands of a Deliveroo cyclist, right? And that's nothing wrong with Deliveroo cyclists. They're out and they're grinding really hard and I appreciate everything that they do, but I don't want to take the risk based on what their earnings are and what my level of comfort and income and support that I can provide my wife and family. That's just not going to happen, folks. So that's why I'm really quite intense, or strict is a better word, about why we do that. Okay, so that's the first reason why we don't accept people under 25, and it's all to do with housing benefit and those people at that age getting access to housing benefit. So the second thing I was going to talk about, and I'm just remembering what it was about the fact that we don't take deposits. And people go, and we talked about this before, by the way, in some of our podcasts. And if you're still watching this at the 6.5 minute mark, then go to www.daniellatto.co.uk and come and download some of our podcasts. But the reason why we don't take deposits is for a pain in the backside. Well, first we have to take the deposit, okay? Then we have to give this prescribed information, okay, via email, via post. We have to get people to sign to say they've received it. Then we have 14 days to protect the deposit. Then the tenant does a runner, damages everything, paints it all black, smashes all the windows, and then wants his deposit back, leaves it in a complete mess. Oh, well, we cleaned that room from top to bottom, and like there's dog shit everywhere. Do you know what I mean? Not that we get dog shit, but it's a complete mess. And it's like, why? So I lost my train of thought there. So why? It was a dog shit. So, like, why then do we have to go and request the deposit back from a third party who looks at it and then gives a deposit back to the tenant? Why do we do that? Why be involved in all of that? A much better way for us to not have to deal with any of that stuff, right, is we got a flat at, say, 450. We might put the rent up to 550 because one of the things that tenants know is that they're unlikely to get the bonds back, or it's going to be, or there's a potential for them not to get the bonds back because that's how it used to be, right? There's always cleaning costs and so on. So how about you keep your bond? And actually, we'll just put the rent up, say, £100 a month or 75 quid a month. Let's do 100 because I can do the maths. Now you might be going, that's really risky. Let's say it's £400 to £500. Well, that tenant just has to be in that place for 4 months, okay? He's paying an extra £100 times 4 months, that's our £400. We don't have to put that as a deposit into a deposit scheme because it's not a deposit. It's simply paying more rent. Now, the question is, do tenants want to pay more rent? And the answer is yes, some of them do. They much prefer not to have an upfront fee of 500 quid or 400 quid or even 1,000 or £2,000. They'd rather much rather pay an extra little bit each and every month. But that's not going towards their deposit. That's not how it works. They're paying rent. It's taxable income for us, right? So that's how we do it. And then when we get past 4 months on that particular example, we've actually covered all of their rent. We're now an extra £400 up, which we don't have to pay back. That's profit. Now, on average, our tenants stay between 18 months and 2.5 years. We've got some who are in there for a lot longer, of course. So what happens there is that if that tenant's in for 18 months, right, we're now getting an extra £100 per month for the next 18 months. We're 1,800 quid up that we never have to give back. We take that 1,800 quid, we go in, new bed, we repaint it, we do redo the bathroom, put in new fixtures and fittings, and we're able to start reinvesting in the properties because we're actually up. The key is that when that rent comes out, the extra bit that you've charging for is that goes into a separate refurb account so that you can actually do that. And then you just go around all your properties, refurbing them off this additional rent that you wouldn't have otherwise got. Like, that's a wonderful way of doing it. We don't have to then go through all the paperwork, all the prescribed information, uploading the rent into the deposit protection schemes. And people are like, yeah, but Dan, you've got to protect a deposit. Well, if you're not taking one, like, how would, yeah, well, let's protect this deposit for £0 then, because we've not taken a deposit. So it gets us out of having to do all that. The protection mechanism is just a pain in the backside. It's a pain for us. We hate doing it. It's a pain for tenants. They hate doing it. They're more than happy just to pay a little bit extra each month. That goes into our refurb account effectively, and then we're able to invest that money into refurbing our account. And that's how we keep up with our refurbishments. Do we get it right every time? Of course not. What happens, Dan, if someone moves in and on month one, they don't pay the rent and they don't move out? Well, we would have only got £400 anyway, right? So, like, £400 isn't going to cover that. So on those circumstances, you know, we get utility bills and passports, and we also get next of kin, so we know where mum and dad live. So if they disappear, we send all the posts back to their mum and dad's, and we issue county court proceedings through the money claim online, MCOL, and then we win. That's the way it goes. We always win. We've not lost one yet, because it's a watertight thing. It's all contractually based and so on through the tenancy agreement. So we win, and then we send bailiffs to mum and dad, because that's their last known address. That's where we send them. And so mum and dad then get very upset because they've got bailiffs banging on the door. The rent gets paid, or the damages get paid, or, you know, the cleaning bill, whatever it happened to be, that gets paid. And that's how we do it. We can be quite litigious, and that's not a bad thing necessarily. And if you've never sued anyone, you should go sue someone, just because the experience is worth its weight in just experience, right? So that's why we don't take deposits. So two good pieces of information there. If you want to come over to the website, come and listen to the podcast, we're going into a lot more detail on a lot more stuff. And of course, we do lots more videos like this. We're all embedded on the website. Come speak to us. And the website address is www.daniellatto.co.uk. I hope that's useful, and we'll speak to you on the next video.
The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.